Couple headlines from higher education. Harvard University is being sued by the group Students for Fair Admissions, which says Harvard discriminates against Asian American applicants. Harvard says the group is using what it called gerrymandered statistics. Also, as you may have heard on our show last Friday, the University of Chicago will no longer require SAT or ACT scores. It's the first of the top 10 research universities to do so. But enough about these top-tier schools. One college counselor says high school students who put all their efforts into those name-brand schools may not be making wise decisions. Lisa Maselli is director of college counseling at the University of Illinois Laboratory High School in Urbana. My alma mater, Lisa, welcome back.
Thanks, Jeremy. Great to be with you.
And you call these top-tier schools bumper sticker schools. You say that this is not a good idea to just throw your effort into those. Why?
Yeah, I don't want high-achieving and hardworking and successful kids to be intimidated to go for those schools. But Jeremy, I spend so much time talking with students with these awesome GPAs, great test scores, and they truly believe that that's the only tier of schools who are going to give them challenge, that are going to give them peers that they can connect with. And that's so not true.
And why do you say that's not true? What other schools will be able to give them the level of challenge that they clearly
sure
are looking for?
Right. Well, ironically, the schools that I think are often overlooked are schools that could be, for instance, state schools with honors programs that have specific incentives for kids that are high achieving and maybe might be above their profile of who they've admitted in the past to come and be a part of a selective group with extra perks and extra independent studies and relationships with professors. There are also so many liberal arts colleges that are geared towards kids who want to learn, have a desire to go deep into a subject area, that often because they don't fall into that Ivy League tier, they often get overlooked as well. There's over 3,500 colleges out there. And I think that we tend to see kids and families, and sometimes even the press, obsess over just a certain group of schools. And there's more than 30 colleges out there.
How many schools should somebody apply to?
Yeah, I like to tell families and students, when you build that list, and it has to be balanced, stay 10 and under. When you start getting into double digits, your application is weak. Often kids don't know why they're applying. They're just throwing darts, hoping that they hit something. And the reality is, when they have applications that go to more than 10 schools, you often say, so why are you applying? Why is the psychology program different at this school than the other school? And they look at you and they don't know the answer. They usually apply to lots of schools. And I'm talking, I've seen kids apply to 17, 23 schools. And it's all because of the U.S. News rankings reports.
Hmm. So if you are going to apply for 10 schools or fewer than 10 schools, what should the mix be?
Sure. Well, we like kids to have at least one or two what I like to call foundation schools, or they'll often find on websites calling them likely schools. And these are schools that when they look at the profile of who has been admitted at those colleges over the years, they're well above that middle 50th percentile. But it's important that students, when they build those foundation schools, they love them. So many times, Jeremy, they look at their likely schools as their backup or their schools that are going to be the consolation prize mm-hmm. if, God forbid, the reach schools don't admit them. So I think in a 10-tier group of colleges that you're building, you want to have two foundation or likely schools, two schools that are in your target range. And then if you do want to reach for those schools, I wouldn't do more than two or three of those also.
Is the blame here on the student, do you think, or on the parents, on the college counselors in some cases that try to encourage these students to reach for these top tier schools?
Sure. Well, I think we don't want to fall into this hole of undermatching kids. I do think we also have students around the country who are intimidated by the process of college admissions, maybe don't have anyone mentoring them or helping them. So oftentimes they will undermatch where they go. So we don't want students to be afraid to reach. That's where that term came from. You reach for those schools, but there's no guarantee. But I think when it comes to helping them build a balanced list of schools, I think we're all guilty. I think we have to be the counselors, the parents, and the college admissions professionals who model what it means to build a healthy list of schools that are balanced and don't just fall into an uber reach tier to possibly set them up for disappointment, denials, wait lists. And that's what I think I'm seeing happening, especially with high achieving kids that look at their outcomes for college over what this healthy process should be.
When you talk about the admissions officers, you write that they should stop traveling to high schools and hosting evening info sessions with only those schools that they consider to be peer institutions. What do you mean by that?
Right. An example of this is a program that goes around the country, and it's Duke, Georgetown, Harvard, Penn, and Stanford. And they travel and they book hotels. They get a standing room only crowd. And I sit in the audience as a counselor and think, how is this serving our students to understand how to build a balanced list? So I'm sitting there often thinking, why isn't the University of Pennsylvania traveling with Bucknell and Penn State and Villanova and Haverford and Bryn Mawr? Why aren't they thinking about what the purpose of that meeting is and to maybe use that as a vehicle to expose families to a certain region of the country, but have them understand how you look at colleges with their admissions rates to think about what are my likely, my target, and my reach schools? I really wish colleges would think about their travels and frame it in a healthy way for families.
What if you are a student, let's say, in Texas, and you decide that you only want to apply to the University of Texas because it's affordable, it's a very good school, it's right there, close to your family? Is that wrong to just pick one school and say, I'm just going to try to get in here?
Sure. I'm glad you brought that up, because building a college list, which has become such a huge conversation, like you mentioned, with kids maybe over-applying, and now you're asking about, is it okay or is it safe to do one? The answer is, based on the student profile and how their high school counselor is assisting them, absolutely. We have students, for instance, at my high school who come in and say, my dream is the University of Illinois. This is my GPA. This is my test score. This is the major I'm thinking. With that knowledge, it's pretty easy to work with admissions officers and understand, is this student doing the right thing by potentially doing one school? So I don't want your listeners to think this is all about making sure that they visit colleges and build a list of 10 or under. I have worked with students, absolutely, who have come in and said, I know where I want to go. Do you think that this is in my range? And with data that we keep to show what the trends of admissions have looked like over the years, we can help them decide if one school is a risk or if one school will be safe for them.
Do you find yourself as a college counselor having to counsel people about how to deal with the amount of debt that they might end up with after going to school?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what has happened, because this concept of what is the best college, what does the prestige and the name of the college mean? What does success after the undergrad look like? There are many families that are willing to take incredible financial strain on their family and on even potential retirement so that they can invest in a school that might give what they think is going to be the best outcome for the future later. And we have to really help families and kids think about, what are you investing in? What are you going to, and what do you want to get out of your 4 years of undergrad experience? And to caution them about, loans aren't bad. If they get a need-based loan and they're building a credit history and they're paying things off, they can actually build a good credit record to get their first loan for a car or a condo. But when I see kids that come in and say, I got into this college and I want to take out $50,000 my freshman year, and you ask them why, and it all has to do with bragging rights in the name of the school, that's where we have to get down to soul searching and really find out what is the motivation here regarding why they want to go to that college.
One more thing, for people who have already picked their school, some students are getting one last summer off before they start college. What should they be doing with that time?
Oh, great. Okay, so as college freshmen that's going to be matriculating soon, they've worked hard. Obviously, we want them to make sure that they've worked with their high school counselor and had their final transcript sent so that the college doesn't revoke their admission, because they have to see that they actually graduated. We want them to make sure that they release their official test scores. And if they've taken any college courses or they've done community college work, they have to release those records to the college they're matriculating to. But they've worked hard. Now is the time again for them to think about family and friends, balance, relaxation. But if they do have passions that they've been working on and in basically investing in and doing impact, if they want to keep those things continued so that they can continue those in the college that they go to, that's great. But so many times, Jeremy, we're just begging some students before they head off to college to get rest, reconnect with people, show gratitude to those who have helped you and who have gotten to you where you are today, and leave heading off to college ready and energized.
That's Lisa Maselli, Director of College Counseling at the University of Illinois Laboratory High School, my high school. Lisa, thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy.